Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast. We really appreciate all the listeners pushing us towards those numbers that we need so we can get more guests in here. We're always looking for good guests, but you know what? It doesn't matter. We're excited that we started with hardly anything, just a computer and a sound card, and now we're interviewing people from all over the world, including Marilyn Hickey a few weeks ago, and our next guest, Mr. Bruce Vannata. Am I saying that right, Brother Bruce?
It's actually Vannata.
Vannata.
Yep.
I'm a Texas boy, so you got to help me out. Sometimes on
no
the
problem.
Air, I can get away with it, but some names just throw me off, and you expose me as a good Texas boy. Hey, man. Well, Bruce is here on the show with us today, and he is, where are you located right now, Bruce?
I'm in central Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, he's one of the furthest ones we've interviewed this week. So that's good. And he's going to share with us today about his book, Saved by Angels. And he's going to tell us about a story about his life that is so amazing. It's just amazing how God spared just his life in general, but also how God gave him a ministry out of this. And Brother Bruce, you got so much to talk about. I'm going to just let you jump right in. And, you know, at any time, you'll feel free to just throw in your contact information for people as well. And just feel at home. And welcome to the show.
Well, I appreciate that. As you mentioned, yeah, God's definitely spared me. It was 2006 was when the accident happened. The Lord had given us a business. I owned my own business at the time, and I was a traveling mechanic. I had a service truck. I went around, I did on-site repair on heavy equipment, mainly diesel engines. I didn't do much maintenance, just pretty much just engine repairs on the big diesels. And it could be a generator in a roof of a hospital one day, or it might be, you know, an over-the-road truck one day or whatever. But in November of 2006, I was working on a logging truck. Here in central Wisconsin, it's all woods, it's all forest and trees, and so there's a real heavy logging industry. And so I did a lot on logging equipment. And that day I was working on a Peterbilt logging truck, and this logging truck would be as big of a semi-truck as you would see anywhere. It was a three-day job. It was Thursday night when I finished the job. I was working with the driver slash part-time mechanic for this particular logging business, which was about, I don't know, maybe like an hour south of where I live. And it was the end of the day. I'd left my house. It's like 6 a.m. that day. The last time I looked at the clock, it was about 10 minutes after 6 p.m., so I'd worked a 12-hour day already, and in order to test my repair, I got called there because the thing was leaking coolant. And in order to test my repair, I had to start the engine just to make sure it was no longer leaking coolant. So while it was running and just kind of running up the temperature, I'm wiping my tools off, putting them way back in my service truck, and it was running maybe 15 minutes, and I was just about having my tools put away, and the guy that I was working with, the truck was still... There was still quite a few things apart on the truck, but he was a good enough mechanic. He could finish up that stuff on the next day on Friday. I just had to get the technical stuff on the engine done, and my part was done. The engine was running, so I'm getting ready to leave. He taps me on the shoulder, and he says, "Hey, before you go," he said, I'd like you to just look at one more thing before you leave. He said he had a dirty spot on the engine that he knew must be an oil seep, he said, because he'd wipe it off, and within a couple weeks it'd get dirty again, but nothing dripped out, but he knew oil must be seeping out of some spot. He said, "Could you just diagnose it? Tell me where it's coming from," he said, "because I can't figure out where the oil's seeping from." So I asked him where the area was. He said, "Down in the front of bottom of the engine." So if you can, the people listening today, if you can picture the great big chrome bumper that is on the front of many of these big over-the-road semi-trucks, This big chrome bumper, there was just barely enough room for me to slip underneath it. So he had actually just crawled out from underneath it and went before he tapped me on the shoulder. So now I get down on his creeper, a little tool that mechanics use, basically just a flat board with four wheels on it or six wheels on it to slide on his vehicles. So I lay down on his creeper and I go underneath this front bumper feet first, my feet going towards the back of the truck, right dead center in the middle of the truck, right in the middle of the grill underneath the front bumper. I'm sliding back, and I stop, and I said to him, his name was Leonard, I said, Leonard, why don't you jump up inside the truck, see what the temperature of the engine is? Because now it had been running, like I say, at least 15 minutes. I didn't need the truck running to check, see where this oil seep was coming from. And so I slip underneath, and for anybody listening today that has never seen the underside of a big semi-truck, the lowest thing to the ground is the front axle. Now, the front axle is what the two front wheels are connected to, the steering axle. When you turn your steering wheel, those two front wheels move. And the reason why it's low is because the configuration is a dropped axle is what it's referred to. And that just means that out of the, where it comes out of those wheels, it drops down on both sides. And so if you can just picture it, a left and a right wheel, driver's side wheel, passenger side front wheel, the axle connects in the middle and it immediately drops down towards the ground. And it's shaped like a big I-beam. And it's just enough room for, I'm a kind of a little guy, and it was just enough room for me to slip underneath this axle. Well, Leonard had jacked up the passenger side of the truck, and he had removed the passenger side front axle wheel. And so there was a bottle jack holding up that front axle on the passenger side. So the axle was at its normal level position, and I slip underneath it. Now that axle is going directly across my midsection, above basically around my belly button, going from the left to the right. It's probably 6 inches front to back, 6 inches wide front to back, and it's probably 8 inches depth. And again, it goes all the way from the left side of the truck to the right side of the truck. And on this axle, just where the two front wheels are touching the ground on this particular truck, is about 5 to 6 tons. So 10,000 to 12,000 pounds of weight on those two front wheels.
That's a lot.
And as I'm, yeah, so it's a lot of weight, right? Because a normal car is only like maybe 3,000, 4,000.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The whole car.
Now, is this something that you normally would do? Just enter, you know, this is a normal procedure you would handle this kind of job?
Yeah, I worked on this stuff all the time.
Okay.
Now, I hadn't jacked up the truck.
Okay, all right.
Leonard had jacked up the truck, and when he jacked it up, he had not used any safety equipment, no blocking, no jack stands of any type. I have to admit, it's not the, I mean, I had done the same little shortcut myself. That axle's kind of wide, you know, 6 inches wide.
Yeah.
And so I had cheated and not used safety equipment in the past myself, and so I wasn't really worried when I slipped underneath it, you know, even though I saw that he didn't have any safety equipment underneath it. So now it's going across right above my belly button. I'm looking up. I'm laying on my back on the creeper. I'm looking up at the running engine just above my head. He gets in the truck. The truck kind of rocks. Now, that truck had been on that axe, on that jack, had been jacked up with that bottle jack. The axle had been lifted up for 3 days. It had been on the jack for 3 days. It had been running for like 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
But when he got in the truck this time, it shifted, and I caught movement in the peripheral vision on my left eye, and I turned my head just in time to see the bottle jack that's holding up that axle wiggle, and all of a sudden it flew out from underneath the truck, and that axle came down across my midsection like a blunt guillotine and just crushed my body.
Ooh.
Flat.
Ooh.
When it hit the cement on the left side, when it hit the cement, it was like the loudest noise I've ever heard, because you figure, you know, 5 to 6 tons, so 10,000, 12,000 pounds of weight dropping like, I don't know, 10 inches. And hitting cement, I mean, it was a humongous, loud crash bang. But because it was crushing me in between, it made it even louder, obviously, for me. So this thing hits the ground, and immediately, blood, on impact, blood shot up from the inside of my body, up my throat, and into my mouth.
Ooh.
When it fell on me, it was instantaneous. It shot right up. I turned my head and spit out, obviously, definitely took my breath away. I spit out the first, you know, blob of blood, and then it just stopped. At that point, I just said, Lord, help me. I remember I said it twice. And for me personally, when I said, Lord, help me, I was referring to Lord Jesus Christ. I had been addicted to drugs and alcohol for 20 years. So I was a daily pot smoker for 20 years. In my early 20s, I had a cocaine overdose while living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But for 20 years straight, I did drugs and drank, and I had, you know, those addictions. And the year before the accident, not even quite, almost the year before the accident, the Lord had miraculously set me free from drug and alcohol addiction that I thought I'd end up dying from. And so when I called out, Lord, help me twice, I was thinking on my mind, man, if God could set me free from 20 years of drugs and alcohol, he can set me free from this.
Amen.
And it was at that point that I looked down. Now, if you can picture, I'm laying on my back on this creeper, and I looked down, and on my left-hand side of my body, right next to like my right next to the, like your ribs, you know, right on the left side of your body, there was only an inch of airspace between the bottom of the axle and the cement. So I knew I was only an inch thick just below my ribs. And then I looked to the right side, and there was about 2 inches of airspace between the bottom of the axle and the cement. So I'm crushed in half. It didn't cut me because the bottom of this axle is kind of rounded a little bit. It's got a little bit of radius. It's not a sharp edge. So it just came down and crushed me flat. In fact, to prove that I'm not exaggerating, my spine was broken. So if you can picture being thinner than your spine in the middle of your body, that's how thick I was in the middle. But because the left-hand side, or as I'm laying on my back, the passenger side wheel was off, it's lower on that side even, and it was higher on the right side because the driver's side wheel was still on. So my vertebrae ended up being broken, the width of the axle. So basically you can figure from the bottom of my ribs to the top of my pelvic bone, that whole soft part of your stomach all the way across the middle, that was crushed down flat. And the guy jumps down in the truck. He goes into shock. He totally went into shock. He froze. And I started begging him, please call 911. And so I hear him. He's calling 911. He ends up jacking the truck up off of my body. And where he jacked it up was on the leaf spring on that passenger side because he couldn't put the jack back underneath the axle because now the axle's on the cement. And so because the leaf spring is curved, all that weight now is on this jack, but it's on this curved part of the leaf spring, and I'm afraid the jack is going to fly out again, so I'm begging him to get me off from underneath the truck. I remember looking down at myself. I had a blue work uniform, and I remember looking down at my stomach area after he jacked the truck up off of me, and it made me think, it's going to sound silly, but it made me think of like a cartoon. I look like something out of a cartoon, like Wile E. Coyote gets a heavy beam dropped on him from Roadrunner, or the Acme truck drives over him and he's flat like a piece of paper, like a pancake.
Wow.
That's what I remember thinking I looked like it was surreal. And I remember thinking at that point when I saw myself, because when it fell on me, all I could see was the axle and I could see there's just a little of space on each side. So I knew I was crushed flat, but I couldn't see the lower half of my body because the axle obstructed my view. But now that he jacked it up off of me, now I can see my whole body and I can see this huge flat section across the middle. And when I saw that, I thought, man, this is going to kill me. There's no way I'm going to live from this. There's no way I can live. And I'm begging him to get me off from underneath the truck. He won't touch me because he can tell I had to have a broken back. I'm flat across the middle.
Yeah.
Many people have been told, you don't want to move somebody if they got a broken back or they could become paralyzed. So he won't touch me. The big chrome bumper was just back behind my head. I was just underneath this truck. My head was maybe just like a foot just past the bumper, So I reach back, and I'm able to grab the bottom of the chrome bumper behind my head. And again, I'm laying on my back at the front of this truck, so I just reach back, grab the bottom of this chrome bumper, and I decide I was going to pull myself out from underneath the truck. So I took everything I had, and I dragged myself, because the creeper is now bent in the middle, and touching the ground.
Yeah.
And it took everything I had, but I was able to basically do a pull-up as I'm laying underneath that, a pull-up laying on your back. And I pulled myself out to the point that now my head is just sticking out from underneath the front bumper of this truck. The rest of my body's underneath the truck. If it would have fallen off the jack at that point, my legs would have gotten crushed and the bumper would have come down on my neck and chopped my head off because the bumper had hit the cement when it fell the first time. And at that point, it took everything I had to pull myself out just to get my head out from underneath the truck. And at that point, I died. Mm. Now, I can say I died for two reasons. Number one, when the emergency people got there, I did not have a pulse. But so that's the medical part of it. But the spiritual part of it, when I died, I know that I died because my spirit left my body and went up into the roof of the garage. And we know from the Bible, that's what the Bible says, is we've got a body, and inside that body is a spirit. And when we die, our spirit's going to leave our body, and it's going to end up spending eternity someplace, eternity in heaven or eternity in hell, the Bible says. So my spirit leaves my body. It goes up into the roof of the garage, and now I'm just watching down from above, like maybe at 15 feet in the air, where my spirit is looking down in the accident scene. And I'm listening to the guy. He gets down on his knees. Again, just my head sticking off from underneath this front bumper of the truck. He's running. He's on his knees above me, running his fingers through my hair, crying. I'm hearing him say stuff like, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm such an old fool. I should be the one that's dead, not you," because he had jacked it up and not used the safety equipment. And he's just apologizing and crying, thinking I'm dead, and just looking at me. And I'm from above watching the whole thing in perfect peace. I had no pain, no sorrow, no sadness, no nothing. I'm just watching it all from above. In fact, I was so disconnected from the situation below that I didn't even realize that the guy underneath the truck hurt was me, which sounds kind of weird, but, that's how disconnected I was. I was just like watching a movie. But instead of like watching a sad movie where you'd feel sad, I didn't feel sad. I could tell it was bad. I could tell the guy was hurt, but, I didn't feel bad for him. And what I realized was, the first image that's burned in my memory is seeing Leonard on his knees above me crying and running his fingers through my hair and the stuff he was saying. But the very next image is I realized that on each side of him, on the left and right-hand side of him, Now picture the front of this big, it's a conventional, a long nose Peterbilt.
Okay.
So it's got a hood. The hood is at this point shut. My head is sticking right in the middle of the bumper, just off running to the middle of the bumper. And he's above me. So I'm up in the ceiling looking down. I'm looking at his back. And I'm looking at the head sticking out. And on each side of him, on the left and the right side of him, was a huge angel. Now Leonard is probably like 6'1", 6'2".
Okay.
And these angels were on each side of him with their on their knees, just like he was. And they had their arms underneath the truck in touching my body, but their heads stuck up like 2 feet taller than his. So they would have had to been like 8 feet tall if you had stood them up. They had really super big bodies, broad shoulders. In fact, they were so big that the one on the left, the one on the right, and then Leonard in the middle took up the whole front all the way across this Peterbilt. In the Bible, it says that sometimes angels have wings, mm-hmm. and sometimes they don't have wings. And these particular angels did not have wings. I mean, I knew they were angels just instinctively looking down. There was no question in my mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I just knew they were angels as I was looking at them. They had long hair that went down. They were wearing robes, and there was a belt on their robe that would be a little bit higher than like a belt if you were in pants. And that was right where the hair ended on their backs. I mean, they had really long hair that went right to the edge of that belt. The robes were made out of material that caught my attention because I'd never seen anything like it, so it was just kind of like a weird detail that stuck in my mind. It looked like they were made out of like ropes, which sounds weird, but it looks like the robes were woven together in some kind of crossweave pattern on a small miniature rope. And there were some kind of patterns in there, but I can't like tell you exactly what the patterns were. They didn't like stick in my mind, but the part that did stick in my mind was that it was woven together out of thick material because it was like woven out of ropes. Now there was a light glowing, emanating off of both of them, but yet they didn't look like fuzzy or cloudy like sometimes. In fact, somebody did Sid Roth, It's Supernatural TV Ministries, they did a reenactment of my accident. And the only thing I did, the accident reenactment was really accurate, but the only thing I didn't like was that they showed the angels, whoever did the reenactment, showed the angels as being like fuzzy, like you could like kind of look through them.
Oh.
And that is not what these angels looked like. They were perfectly clear. I mean, just as clear as the guy in the middle of the truck or anything else. They never talked. They never looked at each other. They never turned around and acknowledged me up in the ceiling. They didn't do anything. They just had their arms underneath the truck right, like you could tell by the way their arms were angled, touching my body right where I was crushed flat, right in the middle. And I'm just watching from above, and as I'm watching, time is going by, and the emergency people start showing up, the volunteer fire department for that area starts showing up, and I'm listening to their conversations, and I'm hearing people say it's too late, and I'm listening to everything everybody's saying. And then finally, two people came in the wrong door. They came in the back door of the shop. And it was actually a shop that was really long, big, long semi-truck garage. And the front entrance was in the, like, in the behind me. And the back entrance, I didn't even realize that you could even get into the shop from the back, like, with a vehicle. And so it's a weird detail, but it proves that I had out-of-body experience, because a year later when I talked to the volunteer fire department when I got out of the hospital, I was able to tell them that two people came in the wrong door. And I asked them, why did you come in the back door? And then they explained to me what had happened, why they came in the back. So I just watched, and this red-haired lady gets down on her knees, and she starts patting me in the face, there, that guy in the face underneath the truck, saying, open your eyes, open your eyes. She turned to the guy I was working with, said, what is his name? He says, Bruce Vanetta, and she starts patting me in the face, and saying, Bruce Vanetta, open your eyes. And she's getting louder and louder. And all of a sudden, my spirit went back from the ceiling down into my body. And all of a sudden, I was back inside my body looking at this woman eye to eye.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a struggle to stay alive at that point, because every time I'd shut my eyes, my spirit would leave again. And this time, I was going in a tunnel far away. And she finally said, look, you're on the verge of life and death. What have you got to fight for? Do you have a wife? Do you have kids? And as soon as she asked that question, I remembered my wife and I remembered my four young kids. And so I decided I'd fight for them no matter how bad it hurt. And so that's what happened. I just dug in, and we found out later, they medflighted me to the hospital. We found out later I had five places that major arteries were severed in my abdomen. And there was a couple different large medical studies done. And based on those studies, they compare my case against those studies, and doctors make the claim, that I'm the only person they can find in the whole world that has ever lived with five arteries severed in my chest. Because even if you have one artery, major artery severed, you should bleed to death in like 8 to 10 minutes. And I had five, and it was 2 hours and 40 minutes from the point the truck followed me until they operated on me because of some crazy stuff that happened in the meantime. And so 2 hours and 40 minutes, and I should have been dead in maybe, 2, 3 minutes, about the time I died. about the time my spirit left my body. That's about the time I should have died, based on what the doctors say, because when I did get to the hospital, all my blood had bled out. It was in my chest, but yet my eyes were open and my heart was pounding. And so, huge miracle. I called out, Lord, help me. He sent the angels. I mean, bottom line, that's what it is. And like you said, so it turned into a ministry. So now I share this testimony. It's been total life change. I mean, I can't even describe how much it's changed our life. I mean, we ended up giving the equity from our home to build a couple orphanages in Honduras.
Wow.
We started this ministry. I had an Auntie Carly I had for 20 years that was like my baby. We sold that to be able to start the ministry. I mean, just all these things. And we just travel around the world and share this testimony and invite people forward and pray for them. And I mean, there's a lot more miracles that I could talk about the story, like different things that happened in the hospital. And this guy came from New York and prayed for me because they only gave me like a year to live because I didn't have intestines left.
Yeah.
I had this little tiny piece of small intestine left. This guy shows up from New York because God woke him up two mornings in a row and said, fly out to Wisconsin and pray for me. He does, and a creative miracle happens, and God gives me several feet of intestine, which is the reason why I'm alive today.
Wow.
It was just miracle after miracle after miracle. And so now we go around and pray for people, and just same thing. I mean, just ask the Lord to intervene in people's lives, and we've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open, people get out of wheelchairs.
Amen.
Paralyzed people get up. I mean, cancerous tumors vanish. You name it. I mean, we've seen God do it because he's a faithful God, and he just loves us.
Amen. How long were you in recovery?
I was in the hospital for about a year on and off. I had 5 operations. Then the year after that, I was in rehab. And then, like, the year after that, like, the third year, I was starting to finally get back to normal.
So, roughly,
And God has totally healed me. I mean, I mentioned before I had a broken back.
Yeah.
But yet, if you saw me walking down the sidewalk today, or running, jogging, playing basketball, baseball with my kids, you wouldn't even know I'd been hurt unless I lifted up my shirt and then you saw that, the scars, because I'm, like, all the way across the middle, just one huge scar.
Oh, wow. Wow. And then when did the ministry begin? I know probably ministry already began when you were in the hospital, probably. But
yeah, it did.
Tell us about that.
Officially, we started the ministry January 1st of 2008, and I had just had my last major operation because we were doing the paperwork for the ministry, getting it started, everything while still in the hospital. And it officially started January 1st, 2008, but I had just had my last operation, like at... It was either the end of November or the beginning of December 2008. I mean, I'm talking about a major operation. So I had just got out of the hospital, like, for Christmas. So when it started, I was in no way, shape to go minister, but officially, legally, it had started. That's when.
Tell me about your first speaking engagement.
I was terrified. I was afraid to talk in front of people.
That's fine. That's fine. Let us know, because there are a lot of people out there probably wondering the same thing. How was your first time?
Yeah, I was
terrified. Because I mean, you're going from being a mechanic and saved, and, you know, before this all happened, you were saved, but you're a mechanic. It was your work, and then now you're hurt. You're miraculously healed. Angels visit you. We want to know, how did you start preaching?
Well, people started wanting to hear about it because, I mean, when doctors are saying it's a miracle, why didn't you bleed to death? And literally, doctors were coming from all over to come to this hospital to discuss the case, to try and figure out, because what they're hoping is if they could figure out some medical reason why I was alive, they could use that for other people to bleed to death, but there wasn't. They never did come up with anything. They just wrote it off as a miracle. And they called it a medical miracle, but we know it's a God miracle.
Amen.
But there's no reason. There's no medical reason why I lived. And even the intestines, why the intestines came out of nowhere. And so it was so miraculous. I mean, it was in the newspaper here locally and whatever, and people just said, you know, can you come just tell us what happened at our church? And that's really what happened. It just opened the door for me to go speak in churches. But again, I was really afraid, scared to talk in front of people. And I spoke at a couple real small, little, tiny, rural churches, and it wasn't too bad. I mean, it was still nerve-wracking for me, but it wasn't too bad. But the first time I got to speak in between operations in it was October of 2007 at my church, the church that I go to, which is a large church for this area, and there was going to be several hundred people there, and I was just terrified. I ended up spending the whole night, like Saturday night, up. I'd fall asleep for like 5 minutes, and then I'd wake up, and I'd just call out, Lord, please, you got to show up. You got to anoint me to do this, because if you don't, I'm not going to be able to do it. And I would just waffle back and forth all night, just calling out to the Lord. And actually what happened was in the early morning hours of that Sunday morning, God literally, it was like a Pentecost experience in our bedroom. The wind blew so strong, it was like the curtains were sticking out like at a 45-degree angle, and it was like a cyclone wind in our bedroom. And the power of God hit me like a lightning bolt. And I had my hand underneath my wife's pillow. She was face down in her pillow asleep until this huge noise came of this wind. And the noise was a lot bigger than even the wind was, just like it said an axe, exactly. And it's like the power of God hit me and actually blew out of my hand, came went through my body and actually came out of my hand and like went into her, and she got zapped too. It was crazy. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost unbelievable for people. I mean, but it is real and it did happen. And then
Amen.
That's when the fear left me. And since that time, God has just, you know, I'm not terrified to stand in front of people, but it wasn't until he showed up and did that to take that away from me.
Amen. So now are you constantly out and visiting and preaching?
Yes. In fact, I'm getting ready to leave for New York for like 15 days here. We leave tomorrow for a Life Fest thing here in Wisconsin for 3 days. I come back for a couple days, and I leave for like 15 days for New York. And I speak about 120 times a year.
Wow, that's a pretty strong speaking schedule there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. Well, God's using you. Give everybody your contact information.
Okay, so our ministry is Sweet Bread Ministries, and the ministry website is sweetbreadministries.com. sweetbreadministries.com or .org, either one will get you there. And there's a bunch of cool stuff on there. I try and put some testimonies on there. I'm not good about keeping up because we see God do so many miracles that I don't do a good job of like getting a lot of people to write their testimony out for me.
Yeah.
I need to do better with that. But there are probably 40 or 50 stories on there that are, you know, mind blower stories of what God has done for people that I have gotten from them, you know. And so that's a really interesting spot that people love to go to and just read about God, what God has done for other people. Because it's not about me. Like the stuff that God did for me when I call it Lord Help Me, He wants to reach out to everybody. I mean, that's what the bottom line is.
Absolutely.
He loves us. So.
Absolutely.
That's the story, mercy and grace, you know.
Amen. Amen. I mean, and it's just anyone that God can help. I mean,
absolutely.
There was nothing special about you. I mean, you're special, but there was nothing. You didn't do anything special for God. God intervened because you cried out to Him. Your heart was open, and you knew He was the only one to get you out of that situation.
That's it, man. That's it. Because in fact, not only did I not do anything special, I was the least deserving because of 20 years of drugs and alcohol and all the illegal stuff and garbage and crap that I was into in my life. For the majority of my whole adult life. I mean, I didn't deserve it at all. So if He'd do it for me, He'd do it for anybody.
Amen, amen. And He thrust you into a ministry and that you were going to be able to bless other people. And, you know, that's a strong speaking schedule you have. And then you're constantly out on the radio as well and television. You're several times on Sid Roth, correct?
Yeah, I've been on there, 700 clubs. I don't even know how many TV shows, but quite a few, yeah.
Amen. So that's good, man. Let God continue using you. Hey, is that you underneath the truck in this picture on your book?
No, it's not.
Publisher
came up with somebody.
I'm about to say, they didn't. I don't think you would want to go back underneath there and just do that. I had to ask my brother. I was like, I'm going to ask him.
I'm on the back cover.
Okay, I see you there. Your coveralls?
That was my work uniform. I decided for that book, I needed to Saved by Angels. I needed to wear the kind of uniform I was wearing the day of the accident.
Amen. Amen. How long has the book been out?
That book came out in, oh my goodness, when did that book come out? That book came out in sometime in, like in the end of 2008.
Okay. So
I've got another book that I've been working on for the last like 2.5 years, and I just finished that, and that's coming out in January. I'm really excited about that one.
What's the title of that one, if you don't mind?
That one's going to be called A Miraculous Life, and it's obviously about my testimony, but it's kind of a play on words because it's about the miraculous life that God wants for all believers.
Amen. 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 And this current book is called Saved by Angels.
Saved by Angels, to share how God talks to everyday people, because really that's the majority of what that book is about the seven ways that God speaks to us today as believers.
Amen. How can they get this book?
Oh, you know what? Most Christian bookstores or Amazon.com is probably the cheapest place to get it.
Okay.
You know what? If people send a request to our ministry, we send them out as well.
Okay.
And that's all on the website.
All right. My brother, we appreciate you taking the time and spending some time with us on the air, and we're glad we got you, my brother.
You know, one more thing. I'm
Go
just going to throw this out there.
Go ahead.
If somebody wants the book and they don't have the money to pay for it, we'll send them out. Just send us a request. And we've got them in Spanish as well.
Oh, wow. Good. Well, I'm going to keep promoting your ministry throughout the weekend, and this will rebroadcast again throughout this month. So is there an address that you can give people to write you?
Yeah, it's 230 State Highway 66. 230 State Highway 66. And that's Rudolph, R-U-D, OLPH, Rudolph, Wisconsin, just WI, and the zip code is 54475. And just Sweet Bread Ministries.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, brother, for coming on the air with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. God bless.
All right. Anytime you want to come back, just let us know.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Amen. Amen. That was Brother Bruce Venata. Hey, I got it right. And he is minister and author of Saved by the Angels, to share how God talks to everyday people. And he ministers through Sweet Bread Ministries. And if you can visit him at sweetbreadministries.com, you'll be able to read some testimonies, get inspired, and see what God has for you. I'm sure that testimony itself inspired you to see what God is doing in your life and in his life as well. Anyway, we'll be right back. We're going to go ahead and go to our quick break. We'll be right back. God bless.
Who or what is to blame for the incredible youth crisis in America today, and how can we fix it? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with Shepherd's Hill Farm with a hard word. I would take issue with the fact that we actually have a youth crisis today, although our youth are surely suffering. Any youth crisis we have is a result of a greater parent crisis, which is an outworking of a greater cultural crisis, which is a byproduct of an even more significant church crisis. 2 Chronicles 7:14 seems to indicate, until we, God's people, can get our act together, we can't expect our land to be healed. When our culture no longer puts a premium on stuff and self, when we quit being a nation of style over substance, our land can heal. God, family, and a return to a premium on moral character will then fill the void. This will produce more good and godly parents, who will then produce more good and godly youth.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically-based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
Many Christians seem to think the only reason for coming to Christ is to escape the inferno. But if all you want is fire insurance, you're probably on the wrong road, the broad one. The purpose of redemption is not to take us all to heaven. The purpose is to bring heaven to earth. We were not taught to pray for escape, but to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Escape is a pagan concept. "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross," they cried. And Jesus said, "Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world." Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." That means all public schools, judges, governments, businesses, and all individuals are commanded to submit to the lordship of King Jesus now, whom heaven must receive till the times of restoration of all things. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton. Side with God against yourself, and you can't lose. 585-4402.
In the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 17, we read, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." When I lived in Spain, from midday to 3 in the afternoon every day, the sun would be at its zenith, in its full power. There were no shifting shadows. The sun was directly overhead. And that's what this verse is saying, that these perfect gifts that come from above, that come from our Father, come with no strings attached. They are at their maximum. God wants to bless us so much that there are no shifting shadows. There's nothing hidden, nothing obscured. Everything is in the direct sunlight of God's glory. He wants to bless us and then bless us some more. No shadows, but only blessings. Are you being blessed today?
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency. But you can make a difference, because prayer changes things. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God will heal the land." Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall, and let your voice be heard at the place where America was born. Stand up for righteousness as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at AmericaForJesus2012.org. Answer the call to prayer and join us at America for Jesus 2012 on September 28th and 29th on Independence Mall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back. This is your host, David Yanez, and we are here on Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you so much for staying tuned with us. We just had Bruce Fanata on the air with us, and that's a pretty good guest to get. Very, very powerful, powerful miracle testimony. I mean, cut in half by a truck while working on it. Cut in half. I mean, it didn't go all the way through him, but it crushed him to within an inch of his entire body. Just being squeezed down under a big old semi truck, and it's amazing. It's amazing how he came through that, and him being out of body and seeing angels. Now I'm gonna testify. I've seen angels myself as well, and those that have listened to the broadcast the last 4 or 5 years will know that I've testified that on the air before, and if you listen to my interview on Divine Intervention, you would hear that message as well. It rebroadcasts on this show as well. But I tell you what, it is powerful. It is powerful when you see that. And it was very normal for him. He didn't seem alarmed when he seen them. But he recognized them right away. And they're huge. They're like 8 feet. 8 feet tall. I mean, that's how tall my angel was that I seen. And the several times that I've seen in angels. And I tell you what, God uses them to touch people and to minister and to carry on his plan. They're messengers from God. They go to and fro, back and forth to God. And they will constantly bring the needs and the things that God sends to you. And it's amazing to see that and to hear that testimony. It's amazing. You see, God can touch anyone, anywhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter how far they've gone. It doesn't matter what position they're in. God will, if God wants to use you, he will use you. He will make a way to do something for you. And that's really what this show is about. And I asked some really simple questions to him that probably weren't on the Q&A question sheets that we had together. And just to ask him, what did he feel? How was he when his first time going out and preaching? You know, talking about a person that was his vocation was just working on vehicles. He loved God, but his vocation was working on vehicles. And God turns him around and uses him as a preacher. And now he's out 120 times speaking a year. That's a pretty strong schedule. And, you know, that's God. That is God. God has a plan for you. I truly believe everybody's called to preach the gospel. That is my heart, my belief. Everybody can preach the gospel. Everybody can take the word, maybe not all the way to India, or in the next 2 weeks I'll be going to Africa. Within the next 2 weeks I'll be in Africa, and you may not be called to go there, but you're called to preach the gospel where you're at. You're called to support ministries that preach the gospel. You're called to do something for God. Everybody can do something. You know, the other day I was filling out my questionnaire. Whenever we get booked on TV stations, and I'll be in Atlanta, last minute trip, I will be in Atlanta on August the 20th through the 24th. I'll be on 3 different stations out there in South Carolina for the Club 36 in Greenville, South Carolina for Dove Nightline. And then also Atlanta Live, we'll be finishing up there. And I'm taking my pastor with me. He'll be on the air with me. And I got him booked on there as well. But we're out there filling out these questions and trying to find out what kind of information we could do as far as having questions and stuff they ask. And they had on this questionnaire, what would you say? Do I have it with me? Let me think. No, I don't. I don't. But the questionnaire is basically, I can paraphrase it, I suppose. It said, what could you give or what can you talk about that will bless believers now and inspire them in their walk with God? And I put on there for a question for me. I answered that, I guess, with this, that everybody has been called. Hello? And that's my simple answer. And then it is true that everybody has been called. That there's not one of us that can't, that couldn't, that shouldn't preach the Word of God. Now, that is my opinion. That is my views. That's how I interpret the Word of God in the back of Mark 16. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Yeah, we got to work. Praise God. You know, I can tell you how long I had to hold secular jobs, as they call them, or be a bivocational minister, whatever they call that stuff. To me, that's all secondhand. You're a minister. You're a man and woman of God. You're a Christian, and you got to take the word out. There's no choice, and there's no walk around it. And at some point, in some way, if God needs you to do something, he'll make a way for that to happen. This young man did not know that he was supposed to be preaching. He did not know that. But God knew of a time and a season and how he was going to reveal that to him. And I tell you what, how can you not come back from a healing like that? A miracle healing. You know, medical marvels is probably what he'll be on. It probably has been on, medical marvels. Do y'all see that? Do y'all ever see that one, medical marvels? Well, it's on the medical channel. Not that I sit there and look at that. My wife likes watching all that crazy stuff. It gets all gory and gooey, and I have to leave. And she's like, she gets after me because I'm just a faith man. And I would just say, she's like, well, look at this and look at that. I'm like, I just pray for them. They'll be okay. I lay hands on them. They're going to be healed. Praise God. I'm not gonna go and figure out. I don't need to know all the words and all the reasons of their woos and their won'ts and their hurts and their pain. Excuse me. I just treat them like they're at one of my conferences, and I just pray for you. Bam, you're healed. Bam, you're healed. That's how I think. But anyway, amazing testimony. Amazing testimony. Five arteries severed. Amazing. And still living. Very amazing. God knew he had a plan for him. Knew he had a plan that he was going to be used in this fashion that he is today. He knew it was within him. Bruce didn't know it was within him, but God knew it was within him. Very powerful. Very powerful. So my friends, everyone is called, and God will use you. He will use you when it's time. But that doesn't mean we can't do what we need to do now. Well, how can we do what we need to do now? Can you explain that? That sounds just so simple. How can we do what we need to do right now? I will tell you this. You do what you do right now by being faithful, by staying focused, by being involved in your local church. You do what you do now by living your life for God and changing people's lives that way. As opportunity opens, you preach. As opportunity opens, you witness. As opportunity opens, you pray. You pray. Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You see, God wants us to pray. Well, I'm not called to be a preacher. Pray. I'm not called to be a missionary. Pray. I'm not called to stand in this pulpit. Pray. Am I getting a lot of my country drawback in here? It sounds like today I am. Bruce, you messed me up, buddy. Yeah, I pronounced your name the wrong way, and I've been trying to compensate ever since. Praise God, Bruce. We love you. And I tell you, this is true. If you're open to it, God will change your life. God will turn it upside down, completely go a different direction, make your walk in a walk that is so powerful, only the hand of God can do it. Would you like that kind of life? Oh, I'm not trying to do like most of these TV stations and radio programs that hype up what Jesus can do and make you feel all happy and give you what's called, what is that term that they use? It is called, oh my goodness. Feel good gospel. Praise God. That's what it's called. Thanks you, Lord. Feel good gospel. I'm not just going to hype you up and get you excited about doing things. Now, that's my gift, is to get you excited and connect in faith. Excited in faith to do something for God, because I'm an evangelist. And to get you excited to get your healing. Excited, not an excited point where you're just all hyped up, but excited in faith that your faith is reaching out. That is what I do. But I'm also called to make you want to work for the Lord. Hello, it got quiet. That's what I tell my church. I go, it's okay to say amen. Please stop hurting me. don't say ouch too much. But you have to be able to be willing to want to do something for God. You have to be willing. And yes, it takes work. It takes prayer. It takes time. And it takes fasting. It takes a lot of things. There's too many ministries that don't focus on what it really takes to get to where they are today. It takes prayer. You know, I enjoyed having Marilyn Hickey at the beginning of this month of June. Middle of June, we had her about a month ago. And she just said that you have to pray. She said, David, I memorized this book. Not all the way to where I can just call on any verse and say recite every single chapter, but I've memorized the good things. I memorized God's things. I've memorized as much as I could, and I continually I want to get it in my spirit. I want to get it in my soul, and you know that's powerful. She also said she prays. It's amazing what that testimony, it inspired me. You know, I remember another individual in my life that I was growing up and going to youth. Well, it was kind of like an adult youth, I guess. I have no idea. It was all his military guys. We're kind of older, but the youth pastor was so loving, and his teaching was so strong. We didn't really fit into the church. The church was kind of an old crowd, and we were kind of just so drawn to him and his ministry and his anointing that he kind of shepherded us and loved us And he welcomed us in, and his message was kind of for the youth and for the young adult. And one thing that he shared with me, he used to be former Navy as well. And one thing he said, I'm reading this, and he had the book of Psalms opened up. I'm memorizing it. I don't have it all, but I'm right here on Psalms 38. I memorized it, and he can recite the whole thing to us. He said, I love this word. His name's Don Wagner, and he's in Southern California now, I contact him here and there. We send an email to one another. He's always encouraging me, inviting me whenever I come into the area to have lunch and visit with him and his family, which I know his wife as well, and they're in my book, one chapter of my book on relationships, awesome relationship that they have. And I tell you what, when he was talking about that, it inspired me. I said, do I have the same love for the Word of God to read it like that? Do I have it where I read it every day? And it just makes it feel so good in me. Do I have it where I want to memorize every word? Well, you know what? Marilyn does. Marilyn Hickey does. Don Wagner does. Does David Yanez have it? And I tell you what, some nights I don't. Sometimes I do, but I tell you, I love it. I love the Word of God. And I do pray that I have more time to read as much as I want. In fact, I looked at a Bible study today, and it said 90 days it takes you to finish the entire Bible, 13 pages a day, or 12 pages a day. Now, I used to read 13 chapters a day when I was in the Navy, but 13 pages a day, and you could finish the Bible. Now, I guess that depends on the size of Bible you got. Sometimes some Bibles have bigger pages than the other. So it may take you more than 90 days. But especially the big, giant print Bible that I see a lot of people use at church, that thing I can read from the pulpit when I'm preaching and go, hey, yeah, I can read from you. Hold your Bible up. I'll read from here for you. No, but God has a plan for you, my friends. You know, I read a scripture the other day, and we're going to finish up with this, hopefully. This scripture, It read, where was it in? Give me a second, and I have to find my phone, which I have my Bible on. Oh, you know what? I have my other one here. So, But it was in, I think it was Philippians 4:3. I think it was Philippians 4:3. And I'm going to check real quick. But what I want to tell you was that scripture said, I have learned both to be abased and to abound, to suffer hunger and to be full. But I want to read it to you because it is powerful on how it just brings up the word and how it makes it all just powerful on what it is. It gives a second to open. See, now this is what, you know, technology is great, but then when an app takes forever to open like this one's taken, it isn't great. It isn't great. It just taken too long. I could have found it if I had my Bible with me up here, which I don't see a Bible up here, and I'm wondering where my Bible, oh, it's in the TV studio next door. That is where the Bible's at, and I'm wondering why that's crazy that I forgot. I need to get an extra Bible for over here. And now, I'm not afraid to tell people how it is and how things are. I've had many ministries come on here, many ministries rant, and I interrupt them and I correct them. And there's no, of course, I'm not in no way saying that was of this last, our last guest. No, I'm just saying that I had a thought the other day, is filling out information and paperwork for different ministries. It said that that there was different questions that we were asked, and one of the things was, you're coming here to be a blessing. So, you know, you can't really be demeaning at all. And, you know, I think that's good. But, you know, not that you're gonna go and tear someone down. But and I know that they put that on there for a reason. So there, you know, they will have a confidentiality clause and just to make everybody feel welcome, all different denominations and stuff. And that's great. That's great. And you know, you have a lot of supporters supporting you, and that's good. You probably have to keep everyone happy. But you know, one thing that I know for this station is that I, not that I just say what I want, but I stick very close and very dear to how I believe in faith. I have strong men of God around me that are in faith as well. But I will call it like it is. I don't try and please anyone. I don't overhype anyone. I try and make sure that everybody that does listen to this station will get the truth, the word of God, in no other way than the way it was intended to be delivered. And I don't need to make apologies, because you know what? God supports this ministry. I don't have to keep people happy, because God will keep them happy. I'm not responsible. Of course, we've got to be entertaining and stuff, because this is radio. But at the same time, my friends, you got to be able to be yourself and not worry about other people and what they think. You know, there's such a, everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to have so much, everybody adore them. Everybody wants to have nothing negative thrown about them. Don't worry about that. Serve God. That's the only opinion that really matters. And I just had to get that off my chest. I found the scripture. I know both how to be abased and know how to be abound. Now, did I sound like Porky Pig? But anyway, I know how both to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let's go back. I can everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I'm going to talk to you for just 1 minute about that. Philippians 4:12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is it to be full and to be hungry? Now, I know the physical part of it tells you, you know, of course, you're supposed to be able to be content in any situation that you're in, is basically what this is saying. But to be full in the spirit, I'm talking about, the Bible says to be full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was one. Barnabas was another. Jesus was the other. To be full of the Holy Ghost. Full of it. Full of it. But there is... We all need to be full of it, but we all have to have a hunger. We have to have a hunger. We have to desire it. We have to want it. I would never want to be so full that I'd never hungered for God's gospel, for His word of God. You can never put too much in that your heart doesn't cry for more, that your soul doesn't cry for more. I know how to be full and yet to be hungry. Can you say amen to that, my brothers? All right, I better stop at that. We're almost out of time. And again, we want to thank Bruce Fornata for coming by on the air, through our call-in that we have here at the show, for coming on and talking about his book, Saved by Angels, to share how God talks to everyday people. You can pick this up at Amazon.com. And he made such a generous offer to any of the listeners, anyone out there that could not afford one, but really want to hear about these miracles and how God used angels and how he was healed miraculously. You can go to SweetBreadMinistries.com. Again, that is SweetBreadMinistries.com. You can write them at Sweetbread Ministries, 230 State Highway 66, Rudolph, Wisconsin, 54475. Again, that address is Sweetbread Ministries, 230 State Highway 66, Rudolph, Wisconsin, 54475. All right, my friends, that is what we have for the day, and we're excited, and we are just blessed. Tomorrow we have Mr. Jay Kateris going to talk about some healing things that he does with his work that he does, and he's a strong believer in faith, and he works in the healing medicines, and we're going to see what he does out there. Anyway, my friends, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our show, and we look forward to tomorrow's show, and thanks again for being a part of us. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can email me, David@RevMediaNetwork.com. God bless you, my friends. We'll talk to you next time on The Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.